meeting everyone, if you'll grab a seat, we'll get started here about 6 o'clock. We'll welcome you to our special meeting, Commissioner's Court, our ninth meeting, second meeting of the month. And if you will stand, we will begin with an invocation and a pledge of allegiance.
Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this gathering tonight. We thank you for your presence here, and we just turn the meeting over to you now. Give us wisdom, direction, and guidance to make each decision on this agenda tonight. We're thankful for those that are interested in county government. We're thankful for these commissioners and for all the staff that supports this wonderful county. We just pray for safety for our visitors that have come up tonight. We just ask that you would give each of us a safe drive home. We ask for safe return of all of our servicemen and women, wherever they may be. Guard and protect them at all times. Again, we thank you for your son, Jesus. It's in his name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. I don't think we've had anybody sign up to speak. Just as a reminder, if you would like to speak, you may speak at this time. You may speak on any agenda item when that agenda item comes up. All that I will ask is that you sign in as a speaker any time before that agenda item comes up. So if you think of something in the middle of the meeting, if you'll grab a form and hand it to our clerk, we'll be glad to let you speak. I also found a copy from 2002, and I put several copies over here of some courtroom etiquette that was approved again back in May of 2002. It coincides fairly closely with the changes that we've made here recently. I did not know the existence of that document until Carolyn dug through some old minutes, and you can find this online. But it was voted on and approved back in May of 2002, so there's a copy over there. And I don't have anybody that's signed up here to speak on item number one, public comments and or requests for any information on non-agenda items in accordance with section 551.042 of the Texas Open Meetings Act. Is there anyone? All right, moving on, item number two, consider possibly approved minutes from our February 10th regular meeting of Commissioner's Court 2 weeks ago Monday morning. Come on, Chris.
Make the motion to approve.
Second.
Motion by Commissioner Hinton and a second by Commissioner Hockaday for approval on the minutes of last meeting. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Item number three, staff report on Titus County pass-through projects. I want to welcome Rick Cronenberger, our head engineer, on our pass-through job here at Rick Office. Is here just a couple of blocks away. We appreciate you filling in for Mark tonight. So we'll turn it over to you as far as the update.
Thank you, Judge. Excuse me, Commissioners. To begin with, the projects are proceeding. 271 is some of them actually returned to it. Crews are coming back from, I guess, what we call the winter break. They had a paving crew show up today to start working on the curb for on the north end of the project. I know that's been a subject that a lot of people are looking forward to, is the opening of that north end. There's three items that are left to be done before the project can be opened up. The curving, it's the striping, and it's the signage. Most of the signage is in place. There are a few items missing. The curving, they made pretty good progress today. Hopefully, weather pending, this week they can get that knocked out. And we're waiting on a guarantee date of when the stripers will show up, because we're looking at doing a permanent striping in hope of getting TxDOT to accept the project in the short term, rather than waiting for the whole project to be done. With the cold weather throughout the state, the permanent striping is temperature sensitive, and so a lot of the striping crews are backed up. There's a backlog that we're experiencing, but we feel within the next week and a half time frame that we'll start seeing a striper on the site. The other item for 271 is the 2040 bridge. Portion count work began on Monday, February 10th. Crews showed up on-site on Wednesday, the 12th, and they've been working ever since. Essentially, the crews, we started with one crew, the second crew showed up today. These crews are coming out of Houston. What they are working is a 12-day on, 2 days off shift timeframe. So yesterday, before they were off, they returned to Houston, but they're back today, they will work 12 days on. And like I mentioned, another crew showed up today. So far, they've been removing the concrete slabs on the south end of the bridge, the last two spans that were previously poured. That work is still progressing. The crew that showed up today is working on the north end of the bridge, taking off deck panels that are sitting there today. Those are reusable. They're pulling those off, storing those, and those will be back on once the beams are replaced. In the near term, March 9th, the Sunday, is when we expect the large cranes to mobilize to the site. For hopefully March 10th, that Monday, they will start removing the concrete beams and the steel girders, taking them down, setting them on the ground, storing them for replacement once the risers are cast. And the kind of the time frame on that, like I said, March 10th is when they're going to show up. The concrete girders will come down fairly quick. The steel girders will be a little bit more of a task because of having to unbolt and manage those are decent-sized girders for the cranes that they're running at. On the other project that we're currently under construction on, FM-1000, crews are making headway on the dirt. They've mostly concentrating as far as dirt fill on the west end of the project between existing 271 and new 271. The retaining wall piece that is currently missing, going through the Creeper property, going off the railroad tracks, that is kind of the delay we've been seeing with that is that the contractor had to apply to get an air quality permit for their pug mill. That permit has been obtained. The pug mill is in process of being mobilized to the area, so they'll start production on that fairly soon. Possibly end of this week or beginning of next week, we'll start pouring the foundation pad for the retaining wall panels and then start standing those up, and once the pug mill is operational, begin making the cement stabilized sand and back those panels. Continuing to work eastward on that project, more dirt work and storm sewer work is being done at existing 271. They're about 95% done with the storm sewer work there. The dirt fill is going in. As y'all know, the 271 has been reduced in its width. Contractors plans to bring the dirt into that area and to do the concrete paving for that intersection fairly soon. They're getting all their submittals, all their paperwork in line. Most of it is in line, so we're just waiting on that crew to come in and knock that out. The Hart Creek Bridge, going back end of last week, from the 18th, 20th, 21st, they set concrete beams. They got 50% of the beams hung. The other 50% are expected to be in the next week or two. As the bridge goes over an environmentally sensitive area, they're working off of wooden planking, and so they're having to move that around. That's kind of stretching out the time frame on hanging those beams. Contractor is working on flex base, line flash, subgrade between Hart Creek and 1735, and they continue to work both the 2348 and 1735 intersections. As you all know, the 2348 job was turned over to TxDOT. We have a final audit meeting scheduled with TxDOT towards the second half of next week. We're still trying to iron out the exact date, 5th or 6th. But that's to start having TxDOT review all the records, make sure they're happy with the records that are there, and that we can turn everything over to them and also have it filed for project files permanently. The Both the 271 project and the 1000 project, the contractors have been paid through the December estimate. The January estimate is in the works of being paid right now. I think we received a check today or tomorrow. And as soon as we get that, we'll get their check cut. And I think that wraps up on the contract administration. So, are there any questions?
Not. Is a change order, a regulator?
Yes, sir. They'll be separate items following this.
Any questions? We appreciate that.
Item number four, consider and possibly approve change order number 11 for US 271. And this is a change order in the amount of $85,719.44. Rick, if you'll kind of give us an overview of what we're having to do with this change order.
Certainly. This change order has three parts. The first part is the addition of drain slots to some of the center barrier along the new 271 main lines. The center barrier was originally designed to be continuous and solid all the way to the ground. There are three locations throughout the project where there is a curvature of the road where the road slopes, and so that would cause water to kind of pool against the center barrier. And then once the road flat back out, it would run back across. It was decided to put drain slots in there instead to kind of keep an even even distribution of the water. The second part is it's the asphalt ride quality and production and placement bonuses. These are TxDOT specification mandated bonuses. Typically on a TxDOT project, they would just pay the amount as under a force account. Seeing that this project is under as a county contract where you want to see what the bottom dollar is with the contract, we run this through as a change order. And the third piece is repairing a crash cushion that was damaged by the public. Again, this is a TxDOT specification required charge that the crash cushions, those are the metal pieces at the end of the concrete barrier. If they're damaged by the traveling public, then the owner of the project is responsible for the repayments of the contract.
That's on the co-op end of the project?
That one, yes, sir.
Gentlemen, any questions on any of those?
The drains are having to be put in because we've got that pump between the lanes?
No, sir. When the road is turning, instead of having the roads as a normal crown where water drains off both ways and the road goes off in one direction, the water would pool against the center barrier, and then once it did flatten back out, it would be more of a channelized and cause a hydroplane incident.
But the presence of that center barrier is what's kind of damming up the water there, essentially.
Correct, correct.
Pass on.
Correct, correct.
Anything else? A motion to approve that change order when you're ready.
So moved.
Motion by Commissioner Hockness, and a second by Commissioner Hinton. All in favor of the approval of change order number 11 related to the 271 portion of our loop in the amount of $85,719. Say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? All right, Rick, let's move on to item number 5. This is change order number 2 on FM 2348. In the amount of $8,225.98.
Okay. This change order has many parts. You'll see the change order report and cost report is 4 pages. The majority of that is balancing existing bid items, project items that were in the initial bid of the project that during the course of the project, either we used a little bit more or we didn't use all of the planned quantity that was there. It's all estimated values on a bid and everything's paid at a unit bid price. And so it's the reconciliation of those items. There are several new items that are being added. One of them is the adjustment to the storm sewer inlets on US 67. During the course of the construction, we moved the trunk line to be able to construct it in phase one rather than phase two, to be able to allow drainage during construction. Otherwise, we would constantly be dealing with pools of water until we got the full phase completed, the full project completed. Other items are additional cement for soil stabilization in a small location, additional broadcast seating and spots to aid in getting the project sold to TxDOT. That also included fertilizer. Removing concrete paving. During construction, it was found that an existing concrete paving slab was under US 67, where we had to reconstruct the roadway, so that portion had to be removed. That was not in the original cross-sections that we got from TxDOT. This change order also includes the same type of production placement bonus and rock quality bonus as the 271 change order did for all the asphalt placed on 67. Again, that's a TxDOT specification mandate. It has replacing a damaged sign, damaged by the public, adding additional sign panels, both for a county road and for a signal ahead. Adding taller signposts for the traffic detectors to work properly. And then the final two items on the change order are for a restripe of 67 and a fog seal application of 67. This was part of our negotiation in getting TxDOT to accept the project with their concerns regarding the asphalt that was placed there. And so in total, the net balance, the net change is the $8,225.
When will that fog seal be done?
This summer. The TxDOT has not set an exact date. The way it was put to us is that it would be reviewed, in May or June, and then sometime during the summer would be when that would be applied. It was also weather dependent. They wanted the hot weather to make sure that all the moisture was driven out of the asphalt before it was applied.
Is it possible they might change their mind on that?
My opinion is yes, but. This change order deals with one cross culvert located just west of 2348 crossing. This cross culvert is a significant size box culvert that when the contractor went out and started constructing the planned flared wing wall, which is the type that typically have the big walls that go all the way down, that run out until you get to the bottom of the ditch. It was going to put the end of the wing wall within just a couple of feet of the right-of-way, which would it would not prevent proper ditch flow. The side ditches that would be coming into it would also be getting into the wing walls. And so we re-engineered it to take out the flares, just do a parallel wing wall, which is still an acceptable method. And then that also allows us to put some rock riprap in front of it to slow that water down and make sure we're not eroding the outfall as well. So this change order, it removes the previous pay items that were in the contract. It adds the new items for the straight wing wall, and then it also pays the contractor for the portion of the labor and equipment that they expended while they started constructing the first one.
net of the adds and deletions, $2,964. Are there any questions for Rick? All right, ready for a motion?
Make a motion.
Motion by Commissioner Fields, and second by Commissioner Hockaday to approve change order number two on $2,964.69. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? All right, let's take a brief moment and get these documents signed for Rick. Rick, we appreciate you coming over tonight.
Just in case they have a question, I don't know if it does transfer at all. When I say the last one, I'll agree.
Yes. Okay, item number seven, consider and possibly approve authorizing the judge to execute the pass-through amendment allowing the acceptance of the north end of 271 into the Texas Department of Transportation Maintenance once the work items have been completed. Let me explain a little bit about this. If you recall, a couple of weeks ago, we began the discussion of, I guess 2 meetings ago, the discussion of whether or not to open up the north end of the loop there by El Chico and the hotels to give these guys some relief. The TxDOT made clear to us they would not accept that portion of the road into the TxDOT plan, into TxDOT, until the entire 271 was complete. We had further discussions with them, so we made some calls to some powerful people, and I don't know how much of a role that played, but nonetheless, we got a little bit of give here. They're not completely accepting this northern portion into TxDOT. They're not accepting it. What they have agreed to do is, once we complete these few procedures that Rick was referring to, as well as complete the turnaround lanes that we talked about at the last meeting, TxDOT agrees they will take over maintenance of that north end. We still have some liability up there. We're not completely out of any liability, but at least they're going to handle maintenance. We have a wreck up there that needs to clean up. So this is, I felt like this is a reasonable thing for them to do. And so they have sent us a document to be signed, a very simple document that says that they will do this at their discretion. In other words, they're going to have to be completely satisfied with the work done up here on the north end, as well as the turnaround lanes that are going to be completed here in the next couple of months. And then they will agree to do this. But it's completely up to them when they do this. But we believe that they will do that. Everyone's came up with this idea. So I can't imagine any reason we would not want to go ahead and accept their offer here and sign this agreement with hopes that they will sign their blank on the document when they are ready with the work that's been done.
I'm making a motion.
Motion by Commissioner Hockaday, second by Commissioner Fields. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? And there are none. We'll go ahead and sign this one. If you have any questions for Rick about this, I can really thank you for asking me to say. So, Rick, thank you very much. Have a good evening. Item number eight, an update on our Riddle Street building and courthouse annex renovation. Welcome, Chris Batchelor.
Thank you. You've got a kind of a breakdown in front of you here. I'll just kind of run through it, make a few points, won't read it verbatim. on the Riddle Street building, they're just about finished. Parking lot is yet to be paved and striped and the handicap signs put up. Everything else is done as far as the parking lot. The gravel's in, curbs are all in. Inside the building, the only thing that's left to do is Workforce Solutions came for an electrician to come in and redo the electric, hook up their computers and stuff. As soon as they get that done, there's some drop poles that come in. Then the last phase of the interior work is put in the replacement ceiling. Material's all bought already, just waiting on them to get through the electrical so they can finish up the inside of it. Suspect the whole project will be done within a week, week and a half. It should be paving tomorrow in the parking lot. We picked up a couple of things extra. We didn't have an agreement to clean out the gravel, but we've just thrown it in. We've got that coming out, cleaning out
rain gutters.
The rain gutters, and we're going to go ahead and add another two gutters just to make sure we get the water off. We've had some water leaks in here in the past. It looks like the water's been piling because the gutters have been clogged up, and there's only two gutters on the front side of the building, and there probably needs to be four to get the water off of there. We've also lowered the ground in the front of the building, put a sidewalk in, and that's going to all be filled in with gravel, so it'll be low maintenance. It also helps with the drains too, so get the water out of it. We're turning the gutter on the north end 90 degrees, so that actually, instead of pushing the water in between the building and sidewalk, it actually runs it outside. So that'll help that area there. The good news is that we had a budget of about $90,000 in there, and it looks like we're going to be under that, about $5,000 or $6,000. We've got pretty much everything obligated, and you've got a detailed sheet in there, but we're running about $84,000 right now with everything that's obligated. Not everything's been paid, but everything's been obligated that we've got prices on. We didn't have to get bids on any of this stuff, but we did on several other items. Got at least two bids, and then just went to the lowest bid and worked those in. So that's what part of what saved us some of the money, is just working the estimates and working the detail on it. The wrap-up building or the elections admin, where they're at right now, again, just to refresh your memory, that's going to be done in two phases. We agreed not to do anything to start on that until after the election, so after March 4th. In fact, I'm actually going to be over there most of the day on March 4th, just kind of watching the activity that's going on to see how kind of crowded it is, make sure we've got everything in line with what we're planning there. But we should be able to start that work in about the April timeframe, and just that on that on the south half. And it's the place where you actually do your registration and your voting. As soon as the voting's over with, we'll renovate that for the new admin office. Leonard and his crew will move over to that south side. As soon as he's moved in, then we'll go to the second phase and move to the north end for the tax office and vehicle registration.
Chris, has he talked to you any about runoff election and how that would affect your time frame here?
Nope, we haven't talked about it, but if we need to do that, I'll talk to him about it, because this schedule is just based on getting started as soon as we can. There's no reason we couldn't delay it. If we need to delay it, we'll delay it. It's not critical, it's not time sensitive, but when we start. So we can delay it, we can delay it.
Yeah, I don't think I'd make the assumption that you could absolutely start, within a couple of days after that. If there has to be another runoff election, that would be a further delay. We'll let
Leonard
know.
Okay, yeah, I'll let
him
know.
Happy, I think.
We won't start until Leonard's ready to start. On the south side of the square, we've got several phases. Phase one was the asbestos removal. That has been done and completed. And thanks to the county for providing those dumpsters. That really helped expedite the process and helped get some of that material out of there. But that was also completed under budget. We had budgeted about $33,000. We had it done for $31,200. With everything done, they did it really quick, which is one of the reasons it came in less expensive, because they got in there and got it done. I mean, they were like little hands all over the thing, but they got it done and got it all. It's all been approved by the state for the asbestos removal. So the next phase is the interior demolition. That's tearing out the extra walls that are still in there, capping off the plumbing that's in there that's substandard, removing all the antiquated electric and the ceilings, the old ceilings that have fallen in. Taking those out. We advertised that in the paper and got no responses, none whatsoever. We advertised it twice and got no responses. I wasn't satisfied with that, so I called specifically on 5 contractors, some local and some non-local. We just got bids in today. We got 5 bids in, ranging anywhere from just over $20,000 to over $31,000, with the median range being around $22,000. So I'm in the process of evaluating those right now. The low bid was actually from a firm in San Antonio. It's got a mobile demolition crew. The high bid was from the firm in Oklahoma City, a total demolition. So it was really weird. I need to reconfirm if these guys really can do it for the price that they've got. There is no requirement under state law to advertise these because it's under $50,000. We advertise them anyway, and I'm glad we did because we got a good range of prices. I was a little surprised at the high price and a little surprised that the low price was coming from somebody from our town. But we will reconfirm that, and I'll let you guys know which way we go. But the good news is we're under budget on all but one of the bids and what we have on that. So should be about 2 to 3 weeks. Most of the guys said they could do it anywhere from 10 to 20 days to take it all out and get that out. So that will kind of set the public completion of that by the end of March, that demolition will come out of it. We are keeping the 4 HVAC units and plan on reusing those that are in there. They're still in pretty good shape. So they're taking out the ducting because we'll be redoing walls and everything, but we're keeping the units and plan on reusing all the HVAC units are there. I do have to say that after we get the interior demolition out, I do not know what shape the roof is in. So sometime in the next couple of weeks, if I can arrange to get somebody, you know, a highlight or something, let me get up on the roof and let me see what kind of shape the roof's in. I have no idea. And there has been evidence that there's been past water leaks in there, but I don't know until we get this out if there's anything current. So. The next phase would be the renovation for adult probation. I just met with them this afternoon, and I think we finalized the final floor plan for them. And they'll be ready to move in. As soon as we get through the demolition, we'll be able to start that project. We're working the details. I mean, we're down to the cabinetry and stuff like that that go in there and what's needed as far as security. And I think they've come up with a pretty good plan working with them all as to how that would work and ties into the court, the judicial center too.
We've had a lot of meetings with them, haven't you?
Yes, we have. But I expect that with everybody. When we start talking about people's places and where they work and live every day, they want it right. And especially when you start planning for the future, and that's kind of what we're doing. They've got new officers, probation officers that plan on coming in, and they're planning on bringing the training here that they do for all the probation officers. So there's space in there to take care of all of them. So we're looking at about 30, April start maybe, and then 2 to 3 months of construction. There's not a whole lot of construction. It's all interior walls. It'll be a drop ceiling, a tile floor. Not a whole lot of exotic stuff in the adult foundation. It's pretty standard construction.
Do you see us approving these projects individually, or do we need to approve all of them when you get your demolition work finished and are able to revise your estimates?
I would say let me get the demolition done so I can take another look, and then I will update these cost estimates. Because the other thing that goes into updating the cost estimates is after I meet with the folks. Just for example, adult probation, when the first estimate was only for 4 offices, now it's for 6. So it's a little bit bigger space. And the detailing of it, I'm working with them on is for how much cabinetry, that kind of runs the cost up, is whether you're buying furniture or you're building the cabinet set. Let me get the demolition done. I'll update the estimates. And what I would recommend is you just maybe prove each project, kind of like we did on the Riddle Street building, just a budget on there. And then I'll just be full open book with all the bids we're coming in. We'll bid out, even though we don't have to. We'll still bid it for component parts. And just let you guys know that we're staying under the, and that's what I recommend. That's y'all's call. You do it either way.
So you see that, if we were to approve that, being able to be done simultaneously with the Rapid Build?
Yes. Yes. They're independent. There's one doesn't depend on the other, so they could.
Well, what about moving the Judy Cook's office?
Well, they won't. They're not involved with adult probation. Judy Cook's office doesn't move until the election's evidence is done. So Judy Cook wouldn't be able to move until probably all the timeframe.
So you can, you can work back there in that back corner of the adult probation in that currently vacant area without disrupting.
Right. Phase three is where we would get into Judy Chip's current area, and that's the new courtroom, jury room. And there's, I'm not as advanced on that one right now as far as the layout and stuff. I need to meet with the district judges to make sure we've got a layout that works for them. I want to make sure that I capture anything they don't like about the current room, current courtroom, because we're going to build another courtroom about the same size. So if there's anything we can capture and make it better on the second courtroom, we're going to do that. And we'll also, at that point, start discussing the security, not only for the courtroom, but for the whole building, because we'll start to pick that up at that point. And then phase four, again, it's kind of independent. Phase four can either wait or go early, but that's the renovating the district judge's offices and stuff around the existing courtroom in the back area. There's some expansion of some offices and additions to new offices and conversion space. And then the last piece of that is the facade work. And we're going to run that through the Main Street program. I'll be getting the Jacob Back building and going through the Historic Preservation Council. We've already run it by the state. The state has an architect for the Main Street program. He's given some concepts that are just really loose, kind of, that's good ideas. But I'll be working those into the ideas as well as what we've got going on inside the building, coming up with some facades, going outside, getting that approved. And if available, we'll go after the Main Street funds. The Main Street funds are only about $5,000 per project. But given that we've got this broken into several projects, we may be able to apply for more than one $5,000 increment. So we've got three projects. We could get as much as $15,000 that would go toward the renovation of the facade at that point. And then the last piece, which is that we move adult probation out of the courthouse into their new space, there'll be some moving of spaces. I doubt there's much construction that goes on in this courthouse, but there may be some moving of spaces and there may be some minimal things that go into that. I don't know yet because we have to talk about all the moves and who's going to move and if we need to move a door or, you know, add a wall or that kind of thing, but it'll be minor compared to this other stuff. That's kind of a wrap-up on it. Like I said, the demolition contracts we got in, I will be evaluating those, and we're well under the 30,000. I'd estimate it's going to be 20 to 30,000. And like I said, we've got a bid for, I think the low bid was 20,777, and high bid was 31. What was high bid? 31,875.
So again, as a review, we've already given you the authority to go ahead and do the demolition work over there. We gave you you gave us an estimate. We approved that estimate. It looks like we'll be able to beat that by a little bit. We've not approved any of these other construction projects. We'll wait for you to come back to us with your numbers after you get a chance to do the demo work over there. Okay. Perhaps late March or early April, we'll be ready to consider any or all of these other projects.
Okay, that works.
Any questions for Chris?
I have a couple of problems.
Will you pull up your mic?
Now, we didn't approve it, as the judge has said, any of these other than the demolition of the walls and the asbestos removal. And then I guess it's, but we're talking about all together, the numbers you've thrown out, $915,000. Doesn't count. Three air conditioners were replaced, and when it doesn't count your fees, so we're over $1 million with this project right now.
Which project?
And I don't see, for far, I don't know this, I don't see that on the budget, any of it. Was a Middle Street on the budget? I didn't think you would spend money if it wasn't on the budget. What the hell are we budgeting
with this? Let me explain something on the Riddle Street. It is not a construction project per se like the others. It's a little different. As I understand it, what the county has done with the Riddle Street project is basically an investment. It's not out of the county budget. It's actually being paid for by Workforce Solutions. It's rolled into their lease. The lease payments went from what was originally $1,000 up to over $3,000. to recap and re-incur the expenses back to the county. So it's actually paid for by Workforce Solutions, that project. That's just that project.
I'd like to address that.
Okay.
The county has paid $150,000 for that building.
Correct.
We replaced the three air conditioners, probably over $10,000 apiece.
No.
No, it's about $15,000 for the three.
So what, each?
All the three.
Wow, paid $10,000 for almost for my house. We've already got $6,000 of the invoices from you and the other people.
You actually paid out $32,000 already, you want to...
$90,000, we paid you already $6,000, you probably have some more coming.
The agreement was for $11,000 total for the construction and management, and that's, yes, so it was another $5,000.
They only paid $6,000, but another $5,000. We got this building leased for $3,300, for 36 months, that's 3 years. They have an option, they want to exercise it, for past that. That is, I'm thinking that it has 12 or 15 years to pay for this building, this investment. And I don't even think it's legal or proper for the county commissioners court to put the taxpayer in the real estate investment business. So I've never seen it.
It wasn't on the original budget, but it was in the, you approved. Well, I told the first, we didn't know any of these figures. When that information was brought to y'all in October or November or whenever it was brought, and you voted as a court to spend that money and do those processes, that's when the budget was approved.
I have met in August. We approved removing the asbestos and doing the demolition to find out through the wall if we had to know what was up against.
Well, now that's over. That's all the problem. This building, that's not on the River Street building.
No. That's about what we approved. And then we approved the River Street building.
Yeah, but the River Street building, I don't think...
Well, I don't think we ever did approve.
I don't know, later on.
Because we bought it last... Are you talking about the River Street building?
Yeah, I'm talking about the River Street building.
Yeah, back in the fall. When we talked about what we wanted to do with that building, do you not remember the meeting where we discussed, do we want to sell the building? Do we want to lease the building? Do we want to remodel the building with an increased lease? We talked about several different possibilities that we could do.
And I voted against it because I do not feel that the taxpayers should be willing, I don't even think it's legal, for the taxpayers to be put on the hook for 12 or 13 years with no other expenses that probably exceed this. Before we ever made that building, I don't think we did.
We always had the option of selling that building, right?
Yeah, well, we didn't. The Commissioner's Court did it.
That's right.
The Commissioner's Court don't get everything correct. They make mistakes. Fine. And I think it should be. None of this annex is on the budget for this year. All this was $115 million.
Yes. No, none of that's on there yet.
Is it on the budget? I can't find it.
No, well, it's not on the budget that was prepared yet. September 30th.
We pieced around that long as we had seen fit. We'd have to approve each section of it, other than we approved it. And now we're talking about the whole shooting match.
No, I think you're misunderstanding, Commissioner Riddle. I think what we've got here is an anticipation of what these products are going to be. None of these products are approved.
No.
None of these products are approved.
Until you vote in court to proceed with the project and spend the money, it's not going to be done. So if three of y'all decide at the next meeting that you don't want to pursue this project anymore, then it'll be stopped and there won't be any money spent. There's only money spent when you vote and approve to spend the money. That's the only time it's spent. Whether it was in buying the River Street building or in coming up with the lease agreement with the whatever the name of the people are that are over there.
And
at that time you approved doing the remodeling and repairs that they asked for in exchange for the rent they're going to pay. That was all approved by the court.
Okay, it would be. When I saw this thing, I was concerned that it had already been approved.
No,
We got the time.
Commissioner Riddle, Commissioner Riddle, hold on a minute. How many times have you come to me and asked me, Brian, have we approved the annex remodel projects yet?
One time.
And what was my answer?
No, that has to be voted.
Why are we still asking the question? It's been confirmed by me, by Carl, by Chris. What else can I say?
I want to ask you, I didn't ask you. You said it would have to be voted. But then I say this, with all the things, four pages, what page, even got dates on it, one of them.
Wouldn't you rather be updated as often as you possibly can be updated by Chris about this? Nowhere on the agenda does it say anything about approving expenditures at the annex or at the Rattler Building for that matter. It's not on there.
First one is said April, May, or June. Next one says June through August. All of them have dates and amounts.
Commissioner Riddle, it's to help you guys come make the decision.
Item number eight, update on real estate building and courthouse annex renovation, period. No action item. Just an update.
That's already done.
What's already done?
The building, $90,000 approved.
That's right, that was approved.
Yeah.
The approach here, Commissioner Riddle, was to give you guys a heads up of kind of what these things are looking at. So you would have a heads up to know how this is going to affect your budget going forward. So these are budget estimates. There's nothing approved here. And everybody's been asking me as I've been working on this and working on this, when are we going to get started? So I put some thought into if these projects get approved, now it is an assumption, but I am making that if they get approved, these are the schedules that could be hit. If they don't get approved, obviously the schedule changes. So this is my best estimate this time about what the cost would be for each project and what the schedule would be for each project. Just trying to be forthwith with all of you about what this is looking like.
I appreciate it, and I'm glad to know that. I thought it was. Go ahead.
No, I'm just saying.
I don't think, and I know that.
Nobody's ever given me that kind of letter.
I'm concerned.
John, anything else? I would much rather you give me several months to be getting geared up and thinking about this and spring it on me all in one meeting and expecting me to make them up there. So thank you for bringing us these updated numbers.
Okay.
I'd rather get the notes. When we got a 35% debt service, I'm not too anxious to have these numbers.
Well, one of the things that I would like to say about this project is, and the real estate project is, I know your concerns about whether the county should be spending that money, but part of the role that I think that county commissions do is to help the county grow and bring in business and stuff. And the move at Riddle Street kept Workforce Solutions in this town because they would have gone somewhere else if they did not have that opportunity here. So I think it's a good move. Chris Bashman's opinion is it's a good move to be able to keep that business here because they put a lot of people to work here in this county because they go to Workforce Solutions and find a job. And I didn't realize what they all done. Except I've been over there so many times here with this project and kind of watching the number of people that go through there. They really find a lot of people, a lot of jobs and stuff. So it's a good service. And I think that the county's done really well by keeping them here. And the things that are going on, even with the Rattler Building and the moves of the county, I think it's really helping the county.
Well, that property couldn't be on the tax rolls. I don't know whether it will be or not now. And we're still considered an economically depressed county because of low wages. So. They could have got another building in town.
Other than how
and pay taxes. Somebody would pay taxes. Is this going to go on the tax rolls? Does anybody know?
Sure, we don't know. It's not. It's Austin County zoning. Now, there's no reason that at the end of this project, when it's all said and done, they've got a new lease signed and they're paying their new revised lease, you're more than welcome to bring a motion before this court and say, I would like to see us sell this building. Put it out for bid, have an auction, have a realtor listed, whatever you want to do. That's not a bad idea. We've already considered it, but we could still bring it up again.
Well, $150,000 for a pay for it, you think we're going to get a $350,000 for it?
I absolutely do. I absolutely do. I'd be personally interested in buying it.
Good. That's good.
Anything else? All right. Thank you, Chris. Do you have any questions for Chris? All right. Item number nine, consider and possibly approve installing a locked door in the interior hallway leading to the district judge's office to be paid for out of the security fund. I know we reached this currently everyone has open unrestricted access. Several months ago, I had a party in a family law case show up unannounced who attempted to discuss matters post-hearing about this case, which discussion would have been highly improper. I'll skip over some of those details. There are other examples. The above is just the most threatening. In addition, the jury room is just down the hall, and there needs to be more separation between the judge's office and the jury room. A door can be placed in the hallway at very little expense if inmates can be used. Materials should not cost much. We may have enough in the district court's budget to cover that expense. Possibly the security fund could be used. Robert and I are in agreement that the restricted access is a good idea, but wanted to get your thoughts. If you have time in the near future, could you come over and take a look? I did get to go over there last week and take a look, and we're talking about building a wall and a lockable door and about a 4-foot wide hallway over there. So it should be minimal expense to have some kind of restricted access doorknob similar to what we have on the law library downstairs in the annex, maybe a push button type of a lock on there. I would imagine this would be, you know, well under $1,000 to give that security. There are two accesses to the judge's chamber. One is through the courtroom itself, that is a lockable door, and the other is through that hallway that comes from Chuck Bailey's area. Anybody can go down there and walk right into the judge's office. So that's what he would like to do. That's what he's asking us to do, and there's no reason this could be paid for out of the security fund.
That'll be on the wall, that'll be on the hall going back to the back of the
building. In that hall that runs north-south, right, between the one that's right in front of the jury room. And this wall would be between the door from the jury room and the judge's chamber.
I'll make a motion to wait. Go ahead, I just want to ask, well, how much money is in our security fund?
There's 20.
First, I'm not making a motion to
Motion by Commissioner Reynolds, and second by Commissioner Fields to get this done. I will make sure that we get 2 or 3 bids on getting that door installed. All those doors, this door, the bills, say aye. Opposed, and there are none. Item number.
There's $94,000 in security.
Item number 10, consider possibly approved removal and installation of insulation. Removal and installation of insulation on the eastbound scale house due to a rat infestation. So apparently one of our scale houses where the troopers used for their office when they're stopping 18-wheelers coming off the road has got some mice or rats inside the walls there, and we need to remove that insulation and start over. This was at the recommendation of the Mark Castle. Okay, Mark Castle is the one that's checking on this. And did one of both of you take a look at this?
Was it you that was involved in this?
Or who told you about it?
I was in there with Mark Chaney.
Okay, it was Mark then. This is Mark's recommendation, because I sent him out there because we had a rat problem. He said, here's what you need to do. You need to...
I was aware of it. He was telling Mark, and I told Jay, we just didn't finish for it.
All right, Commissioner Fields makes the motion that we take care of this insulation that needs to be replaced out there at the scale house. Second by Commissioner Hinton. All in favor say aye. Opposed, and there are none. Item number 11, consider possibly approving the Commissioner's fourth regular meeting from Monday, March 10th, back 3 days to Friday, March 7th. I will be out of town, out of the country on that following week. You can do it without me. I'm just putting this on here in case you wanted to back it back up 3 days to Friday, March the 7th.
Motion to move it back to March 7th.
Motion by Commissioner Hockaday, second by Commissioner Hinton to revise the date of our next meeting from Monday, March 10th back to Friday, March 7th at 9 a.m. of the fourth meeting. All in favor say aye. All right, item number 12, consider possibly approved travel on a seminar. One request. request of Deborah Addison, our district clerk, for her and Renee Blanton to attend NetData Users Conference. This is something NetData, our software provider, puts on each year. This is in Dallas. The dates of the training, she indicates mandatory training, dates of training, the 15th through the 17th, a $275 registration. We've got 3 days worth of meals per person, $120 for each person, hotel room, $156 per night. And I'm assuming that she's talking about two nights there. I can't tell. I'll need to clarify that. It'll be carpooling in a personal vehicle. She is not given the miles back and forth to Dallas, but let's say 120 miles there. So that is Deborah Addison and Renee Blanton attending the NetData Users Conference in April.
Make a motion to approve the travel.
This is the only one. Motion by Commissioner Hinton, second by Commissioner Fields. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Item 13, approve all the reports. As motion by Commissioner Hockman, second by Commissioner Hinton for approval on staff reports. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Item number 14, consider possibly approved treasurer's report. Motion by Commissioner Hinton, second by Commissioner Fields for approval of the treasurer's report. Say aye.
Aye.
Item number 15, approved budget.
I have one question. This is on the roof construction for the copy over there. Let me give us the invoices.
We'll let that there's a slide. I'll explain that to these guys. I mean, it's a large number here, but you're what?
Right. It's we mimic the budget that the construction people use. So when they send us their bill once a month, they also give us their updated how much we've spent so far, how much is left to be spent, what the budget is. So like all the change orders that you talked about. All those change orders are there. One of the change orders on there is the 1.8 million.
On the bridge.
So those numbers just match what is on the
what is on the actual bill.
That's right.
All right,
okay. I see those large bills like that. There's invoices attached to them. Is that each vendor that, and I guess he gives a cat, they'll make a big check to pay their $2 million.
We we write the check in, then they pay.
And then all the invoices are the people to support that total.
That's right. And those numbers are all audited by TxDOT?
Do you get those totaled by codes in your computer, like ABC Grassroll and Company?
No, I keep them in the same format that they have them in, so it won't show the detail, but the detail would be in the individual invoices attached.
Do you get the individual invoices, or they just...
No, just the summary that they sent us, no, just the summary. That's a TxDOT project, they approve all those bills.
You don't know who paid to give that money to, right?
Well, other than who the people are on there, if somebody wasn't getting paid...
I'm talking about last year, in this last year, since I've been in office, and it, we have a bill that fixed it, it's thick.
Yes.
So I assume that you have invoice from each vendor that made up that total bill, and the total bill just has what we give to pay. Is that not true?
Well, it has a detail inside the invoice, I can go get you one, that shows, but you've seen the invoice, so you know what...
Yeah, but you
see the same thing that I see, I don't see any more details than that, those details are kept by TxDOT, and the bill is there, they are...
Those funds paid to TxDOT through...
Yes.
All that's put back to TxDOT.
That's all.
They have an individual invoice from each vendor?
Yeah, sure they do.
Who does the TxDOT?
Yeah.
And pay.
At the end of these projects, all those, we have people buy it, all the invoices, everything, TxDOT, all the books, and the payouts come in at all the 271. Once the projects are finished, we have to keep those invoices, keep everything in 5 years.
We don't have 10 invoices.
All that will be turned over to Titus County and we...
We'll have to put them in storage or something somewhere.
We don't give them to the projects through, then they give us all those. They give, we'll have all of them invoiced.
Motion by Commissioner Henry, second by Commissioner Fisher, all in favor of approval of the budget amendment, say aye. Item number 16, pay orders and approved payments. Motion by Commissioner Hockaway, second by Commissioner Henry, all in favor of approval of paying bills, say aye. Opposed? Item number 17, we're going to have closing comments here, and we've got an executive session scheduled. You guys are welcome to step outside and rejoin us. We're going to meet with our attorney. I don't expect action to come out, but I won't guarantee that there won't be. I'm not sure at this point. But let's go ahead and do our closing comments. I'll start from my right, Commissioner Riddle.
No.
Commissioner Fields.
I would like to bring the court up on this update with our endurance race that we had here week, the Saturday before last. Really went well. We had 80 horses running. Bill Briefer was very kind and considerate to let him use his place. 2 years ago, he competed in the Olympic Games. A lot of these people, they finished fourth in the Olympics. Really thought they did well. Each group comes in with 80 horses. We've got 80 horses running these endurance races. I think the 100, one's 35, 50, and 25 mile races. Brings about 5 to 6 people in for each group, and they're here usually about a week. So economically, that's good for the city. But I thought it really went well. Everything, we just had a beautiful day that day to have the race. So everything went well, and I thank the people that were racing, really enjoyed being in the past year.
I received a letter today from the city of Mount Pleasant just reminding us that they recently passed an ordinance establishing a historic preservation district. They provided me with a map, and that map pretty much encompasses, I guess, about a 4 to 5 block width that starts just north of Ferguson Road, say around about where the Sheriff's Department is, and goes north all the way up to 8th Street.
and it'll go all the way from Johnson Street to the railroad tracks. But they designated this as a historic district, and they're just reminding us that anytime we go to do work on the exterior of our buildings, we need to be sure that we run it by Jacob Hatfield and his staff there to make sure that the work that we're considering doing is going to meet their specifications for this historic district. So that's just a point of information. Anybody else that owns property within that area, just be aware of that historic preservation ordinance and how that affects your ability to make modifications to your building within that multi-block area. That's all I have.
I'd like to announce that March 1st at Sugarville Volunteer Fire Department's having a
fundraiser.
March 1st. I think 6 o'clock. Yes.
6:00 p.m.
Better get there at 5:00 than you be coming.
When you walk. Commissioner Otto? Okay. Like I said, we're going to ask everyone to allow us to go into our executive session for a while with our attorney to discuss matters. You're welcome to hang around. We'll bring you back in when we're done. We have completed our executive session. We're back in session. There is no action that has come out of our executive session, so I will entertain a motion to adjourn. Motion by Commissioner Hoffman,